Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the literary world. My guest today is an author, Irene Gigantini, otherwise known as Irene Nattan. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Simon.
I do hope I didn't butcher your name.
No, that's okay.
Maybe we could start with a little background information. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I grew up in post-war Italy, and at that time, my parents wanted me to have a degree that would allow me to have a good job. So I got a degree in physical sciences, and later on I went to work with IBM in Switzerland, where they have a very well-known research laboratory. And later on I came to Canada, where I taught computer science at the University of Western Ontario for 32 years. Once I retired, I thought I would go back to something that really interested me when I was young. And when I was young, I wanted to be a storyteller. So I took some courses on fiction writing, and then I jumped into writing with all the enthusiasm that the novice have. And that's how my first novel was born. The title is Mountains of Dawn.
You've just released an absolutely great read, The Black Pox Threat. Without giving away any spoilers, would you care to tell us a little bit about the plot?
Okay, this... I read a lot of the American authors, especially Baldacci. So I thought I could write a novel with a background, having as a background spine in Canada, which is probably different than in the States. Not much different, but somewhat different. So meanwhile, I was always interested in warfare, biological warfare. So I had a lot of information on what the Russians have been doing in the late 80s, and also after the Soviet Union, after the downfall of the Soviet Union, also in the beginning of the 90s. So I had that background, and I was going to use that information to build a plot around a virus that is supposed to be shipped from Europe to Canada. Now, in order to have a good story, you have to do a lot of research. So I approach our spine, the equivalent of the CIA, which is CSIS in Canada, and is the Canadian Intelligence Service, to get some information how a case like that would be handled in reality. So I made a lot of calls, and I contacted a lot of people. But finally, they sent me to the public relations person, Isabel Scott, which was absolutely against to give me any information of any kind. I couldn't even mention that CSIS has a building in Toronto, not only in Ottawa. So what did I do? For a while, I was stunned, because somewhat I was not allowed to give all that beautiful background that Baldacci or Michael Connelly give about the government. You know, it's wonderful to read. So I was cut off of that end. Then I thought, well, my heroine is going to be a common person who is in the middle, found herself in the middle of a big plot. So that person doesn't have to know all what the government knows. And she's going to be fed information bit by bit. And that's how the persona of Tamara was born in my book.
I think it's actually a very interesting approach that you took. I can understand your problems. I actually grew up in England, and my background was also computers. My very first job happened to be with the atomic energy research people, and consequently, I had to sign the what's known as the Official Secrets Act, and I couldn't, for instance, tell people what kind of computer equipment we had, although it was public record. You know, that they could go to the library, and there was a book at the time. I can't remember the title of it, but it was a put out by the government, which stated make and model number of all of the computers in all of the locations. So it was a somewhat ridiculous situation.
Yeah. When Isabel Scott told me I couldn't mention the building that the government had in Toronto, the very same building had appeared on our national television. So it was a public record, more than that.
Where did the actual idea for the book come from?
Well, the idea just come. I think if you ask almost any author of fiction, they tell you just you have a situation, and then you ask, what if this happened, what if that happened, what if this doesn't happen, and then a lot of when you answer those questions, you also create a conflict, and that's how the story is born.
Yeah, and the reason I asked the question was that there was a little thing nagging me when I read the book, wondering if it had been as a consequence of the anthrax letters that followed the 911 attack.
No, I didn't think of that. This is basically the background I had was what the Soviet Union was doing in the late 80s and beginning of 90. They tried to create a virus that would incorporate the deadliness of Ebola into the DNA of the smallpox. There are papers of it.
Yeah, I mean that is a truly horrific idea. Yeah, both of those viruses are particularly nasty, and if you get them to cooperate, you would indeed have a very very ugly situation on your hands.
Yeah.
As I understand it, you have a number of other books in print, but they're of a slightly different genre. I think I read the term romantic suspense. Is the Black Pox Threat your first foray into a true spy thriller?
Yes, for the spy thriller, the first one. But I wrote also a political thriller, and it's called The Jungfrau Watch, and is probably similar in the development. It's quite similar to the Black Box, track. Yeah, I try to picture. A person, a Russian person, who had loved his country, and has operated in good faith for his country, and all of a sudden the Soviet Union collapsed. Now, a lot of things that he has done, including really are crimes that are going to surface. So he thinks that he can find a new life by coming to Canada, and he's a very expert secret agent, so he forges all the documents, and he taps him to come to Canada, and he comes here. And which chance does he have that he will not be discovered? So that is the plot of that book.
Right. Jungfrau, that smacks of German, going back to my high school German days, young
yeah.
woman.
Yes.
This is a very unfair question to ask any author, but are you happy with the end product? Did it turn out the way you had hoped?
Yes, I would say the story, I have no claim. I think all my stories are what I want them to be. What I always, because English is not my native language, I don't have to tell that to your audience. I always question if the two editors that I use have really looked after all the details that need to be looked after. So that is something I cannot answer, you know. I have to rely on them.
Where can people find copies of The Black Pox Threat?
Well, Amazon.com has a copy. My publisher is a wonderful, wonderful publishing company. It's Old Line Publishing. And then the electronic version is on Kindle, it's on Nook, Barnes & Noble, and it's also on Smashwords.
Do you have a website as well?
Yes, I do have a website. It's vermeil.buzz, vermeil.biz.
Okay. I was expecting something like the blackpoxthreat.com. where does
maybe
Vermeil...
I could change it.
Where does the Vermeil come from?
It's a town where I locate my first story.
Oh, okay.
Well, I had a website for a long, long time. Maybe I should change it. At that time, it wasn't that easy to find one, to establish one. So that was the original name.
Ah, okay. What sort of reader feedback are you getting?
Well, at the moment, I give in general an open house here and also with at the House of Friends. So I do sell books to people that I know and people who like my writing. Of course, the feedback I get from them, out of kindness or out of interest, is always positive. From the reviews, I get some excellent reviews and some not so good reviews, and they're all on Amazon anyhow.
I'm actually surprised that people would give you a less than great review. I thought the book was very, very well done, but as I say to authors, don't get discouraged by a reviewer that doesn't like the book. Chances are the reviewer doesn't like that kind of book, and it's nothing against the quality of the writing. It's just the subject matter doesn't appeal to them.
Yeah, it could be. It could be, and you have to be familiar also of similar books and compare to those, you know, because there are certain certain aspects that you may find are not real or they could be improved. But if you want to describe or set up that plot, there are certain facts that you have to introduce, and that's basically common to all book of fiction of your own kind.
After I finished reading the book, I spent some time thinking about the best way to approach the review. That's just the way I work, and that there was one thing that just leapt out at me. Your heroine, Tamara, you do such a great job of developing the character. She's almost too good to throw away. I mean, are you contemplating using her again in a future book?
Not right now. Maybe your hint will encourage me. But Tamara is caught in a spine web by chance. So she is not a professional. You know,
she's not a professional, but there again, I'm not sure I would agree with you that she was caught by chance, because that's not really the case. Her background, more than anything else.
Yeah, well, the background is because her parents have been, the father was a spy, so the background is there,
In fact, I put the book down and I went, I'll bet a dollar that we see Tamara again. But
no,
I've been
I will consider it. I am always open to suggestions.
Right. Okay, are you working on another book yet?
Yes, I'm working on. I have submitted a book called The Bricklayer, and it's about a construction company and the owner of this construction company who makes the fatal mistake to hire a female engineer, and then a lot of things happen.
Mm-hmm. And how far along are you?
It's finished.
Oh, okay. So when is it going to be hitting the bookstores?
Well, I don't know, because it's still submitted, and I have to find a publisher yet. So, but it's finished. Yeah.
Do you, on the subject of publishers, do you tend to use one particular publisher, or do you tend to sort of float around depending on the book itself?
Well, the first three books were self-published, so I found a company that did that. Then I had some books published with Publish America, and the last one, the Black Box, was published by Old Line Publishing. He's a very good publisher. He's an independent publisher, and he has a very good reputation. But and he has put the book on all electronic systems that he could think of. But I didn't sell as much as I thought with him. So maybe I try somebody else. In general, when I have a new book, I ask the traditional publisher, and I collect a lot of rejection. So
I have a friend. He's an author, lives in Chicago, and he wrote this delightful little humorous book, which I thought it was a fabulous read, and he went down the route of trying to find a traditional publisher, but he is a comedian by trade, and he took all of the rejection letters and actually used them to decorate his office. His office walls are just covered.
They were so many.
Right, yes. He found a truly unique solution. He created his own publishing company to publish it.
Yeah. It's a difficult time for a publisher, for bookstores too, because the electronic venture is taking away a lot of business. Even Rawlings is going to sell her own books. So,
I work with a lot of authors, and I probably know more about the publishing industry than I need to. But the statistics are something like 300,000 new titles published every year in the U.S. alone.
Yeah.
It's a tough marketplace out there.
Yeah.
How does an author go about marketing his or her book, when there's so many others?
Yeah, well, I don't have an answer to that. It's very difficult, and again, there are a lot of books around, so and you can read only so many. So, I see that Baldacci advertises on television, and so does so do other authors. So they must have problems as well.
Yeah, the. It costs a lot of money, though, to advertise
TV.
Do you do things like book signings and readings?
Yeah, we have a few events in Canada. In Toronto, they have in Kitchener, they have Book on the Street. So. The Canadian Author Association organizes this tent, and you can sell books directly to the public. So Chapters has been very good. Sometimes they organize a day. It's our main, is equivalent of Border, main bookstore. Sometimes they organize a day for the author, and you sell a few books. But you don't sell. If you sell 10 books, you are very lucky.
Mm. Yeah, it's a very tough market, and I think becoming an author, you should never think that it's a way to become rich. There are very few rich authors that I can name.
But I chose to write because I had these stories, and I have the need to put them on paper. Okay, and I enjoy immensely to see how the character develops and all the twists and turns. So I enjoy writing and selling. If I sell, I'm happy. If I don't sell, too bad.
Actually, that reminds me a great deal of a San Diego author that I'm working with at the moment. This gentleman is 87 years old. He's a retired physician, and he quite frankly couldn't care less if anyone buys his books. He writes for his own pleasure. And in fact, he's a bit of a recluse. It took a great deal of effort to even get in touch with the guy when I offered to do a review, and he sent me back this terse little email, which basically said, "I'm old, I'm grouchy, go away."
He has his own financial source, so he doesn't need to publish to make money, like
right.
A young author may need that, or And but I like to have more readers. I like to have readers. I like to, for me, a reader who enjoys my book and give me some feedback, it's like to find a long distance friend. You know, you exchange feelings. There are a lot of feelings in a book, and you exchange that when you have that link. So I like to have more readers. But about the money, again, I am a retired professor, so I don't need the money. So that allows me to, yeah.
Well, this gentleman in San Diego, him and I have actually become quite good friends now. But yeah, it was an amusing series of emails.
did you convince him to let you write the review of his book?
Oh,
did
yes, and he loved it. Oh, this is great. Why didn't you tell me you were going to do this?
Yeah, very good.
Irene, there is one last question I have to ask you. Your name is Irene Gigantini, but you publish under the name of René Nathan. Why the pen name?
Because I did serve. I did volunteer at university for another 5 years after I retired. So I didn't want the student to mix the two.
Okay.
So I kept that business separate from the real profession.
Good idea. Our time is less up, but I do want to thank you for spending some time talking to us this morning, and I'm sure I speak for everyone in wishing you great success with the Black Pox threat and whatever new and future books you may come out with. And please do drop me a line and let me know when your next one is published.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Simon.
My pleasure. Okay, everyone, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe day. I will be back with another in our series of programs sometime soon. Till then, goodbye.